That's a dangerous song to sing. I didn't know we were singing that this morning, and as we were singing it, I vividly was reminded of where I first heard that song. So I'm in Aberdeenshire. It's a Sunday morning. I have enjoyed staying in this house. There's a trout river running through the garden. It's an old 18th century stone-built cottage which has been extended, and there's views over rural Aberdeenshire. And I was staying with some friends and preaching in their church that morning. This is about 3 years ago. And I was trying to get my head together about what I was going to say. And Guy Bastable, the man who wrote that song, I think he was waiting for the rest of us to get ready. He just went in and he started playing on his piano and singing that. Man, he can sing. And I'm living for your name, your glory and your fame. Be lifted high. And it just kind of was echoing through the building. I thought, this is a fantastic song. I got completely distracted and just... And he, you know, he sang it through a couple of times. He thought he was singing to himself, but I was having a worship time. It was just amazing. It's a dangerous song to sing. There he was with his family in Aberdeenshire, very comfortable, a leader in a church, successful business, beautiful house. He now runs an orphanage in Nairobi. He's older than me. He moved the family out just 18 months ago. Josh and Jess have been staying with them out there, working in that orphanage. And you look at those words of that song that he wrote, and when you sing it from the heart, there is really a handing over of control to God. You may not sing it with such gusto next time, now you know the background of the story, but isn't it a beautiful song? Just wonderful. And you know, self-interest is the thing that God always wants to release us from. In our culture, we think it's freedom. It's actually a prison. Because actually, our soul finds rest in God alone. Actually, it doesn't matter what decision we make this week, as long as that's the agenda. Lord, whatever your will, however you're glorified, we want to be obedient to you. Anyway, that's what I didn't want to say, but I just thought I'd... I've been looking forward to this morning. Let me start in a strange place. We drove home the other week from church with Keris just killing herself laughing. She was just giggling in the front of the car. And I said, what's wrong with you? And she said, it was the children's talk this morning. Do you remember when we were playing Guess Who? And they said, anybody with brown hair, sit down. And I sat down. And Keris, just periodically for the next 3 or 4 days, you know, she'd be lying in bed and just chuckle to herself. And she'd just say, he thinks he's still got brown hair. You know. Sometimes in life, all right, that's enough. It's not that funny. Sometimes in life, the way things used to be is not the way they are anymore. And maybe like me, we're a bit slow to cotton on. This morning, the title of this message is The Big V. That means that this morning I want to talk about our vision as a church, something which has grown and evolved over years. And the way things were maybe are not the way things are now. Talking about vision in churches is always fraught with dangers, but particularly so at a time like this. So on Tuesday evening, we are going to make a decision about moving our 10:15 service to Chatsmore High School. That's a big decision with big implications. And as to be expected, there are lots of questions and unease about that, about the finance, about the volunteers, about this changing identity of Maybridge Community Church. And we're at one of the most challenging times we've been as a church family in the last decade. Now, at times like that, it's important for leaders to lead. It's the responsibility of leadership to come to a collective agreement together about what we think God's saying, and then as clearly as possible try and communicate that sense of direction to the church. leaders shouldn't and must not hide at times of challenging change. So leaders need to bring vision. We have a responsibility to give the context and the background to place the decision on Tuesday night in the bigger picture, which may well pass us by when we're all caught up with the everyday challenges of and busyness of life. So on Tuesday night, you'll hear from the elders and the trustees and our finance team about why we are proposing that decision, giving that clear lead. And this morning, it's my responsibility to put that decision in the bigger context of our vision as a church. So I immediately need to issue a spiritual health warning, because church leaders, and hear me carefully on this, church leaders can manipulate and abuse people when they talk about vision. They can use the V word to stop listening to people, actually, and taking on board other opinions other than their own. They can use Bible passages to manipulate people and pressure people to the point that they are made to feel that disagreeing with the vision of the leadership is tantamount to sinning before God. Yeah? In church, the V word can hide a whole multitude of sins. Tudley Free Church prayer ministry team drive out a spirit of not agreeing with the elders. Now, it's funny. I thought I was quite chilled about this whole Chatsmore thing. I thought I was quite relaxed about it, and I have been, I think, all the way through. And then on Wednesday night, we got together and we started to ask questions and answer questions. This is the second time. The first time had been fine. But as the evening went on, despite the fact that I had said to people, I'm not trying to sell anybody anything, I noticed within myself, my breathing became a bit more shallow. I was speaking slightly quicker and slightly louder and slightly more positive than I had intended to at the start. I had to acknowledge I was getting irritated, even though I was trying to look my most measured and spiritual best. And whilst Wednesday night went on, I had to recognize that something was not quite right with my heart. I don't know if anybody else picked that up. I really hope not. But I know that I did. And if I'm not honest with myself about the tensions around this decision, and honest with you about that too, I could easily end up using the Bible this morning and using the title of vision to justify why we should all go to Chatsmore. That would be a very easy thing for me to do. So I want you to hold me to account, because that is not my intention. Since Wednesday night, our loving Heavenly Father has been reminding me of the course 101 in being in a pastor of a church. Number one, it is his church and not mine. Number two, he does what he wants. Number three, I am called to serve. And number four, in the words of Galatians 5:6, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts. So, you see, the thing about vision is that it's not about brilliant creative ideas that the leaders try and come up with and then persuade everybody else to follow in their direction. Vision, at its best, is actually working out what faithfulness looks like, what God is already doing. Eugene Peterson put it this way. The first assumption of Christian spirituality is that God is always doing something before we know it. So the task is not to get God doing something, but become aware of what God is already doing, so that we can learn both to participate in it and delight in it. I have that written up on my office wall. That is a very, very, very profound statement. And if all of us could embrace that for right now in our lives, with all the frustrations of our circumstances, with all the limitations, with all the annoying people that crowd around for our time, actually, God is already at work in your situation and in your life. Oh, that he might open our eyes to see what he's already doing, so that we're not trying to get him to do something else, but in submission lies peace, to go with what he's doing with us and learn to delight in it. So this morning I need to talk about vision, but talking about vision is dangerous. So how about we make an agreement this morning? a deep binding agreement that is founded in our shared love for Jesus and what it means to be church together. Could we love and respect one another enough so that we free each other to say and do what we feel is right before God? Always challenging each other about self-interest, but being completely free to do what we feel is right before God. Could I ask you to listen carefully and prayerfully to me this morning as I share this vision, so people are clear about how the leadership see the future of the church and the Chatsmore decision in that context? If you are currently minded to vote no on Tuesday night, could I ask you to be open to me and to the Spirit of God this morning, so that he might change our minds, if that's his intention? And in turn, I pledge to you on behalf of the leadership that there will in no way be any sense of manipulation. We affirm completely the freedom for everyone to make the decision that they feel is right, because ultimately, Tuesday night is not something the leadership team is trying to win. Tuesday night is something where we are ultimately trying to discern what God is saying because we move on together. Could we agree that? Great. Okay, let's crack on then. So on Tuesday the 5th of April, we went to pray as a church at Chatsmore and have a look around. And as we prayed, we asked God to speak to us. And I was intrigued that two people brought the same verses of Scripture, sensing that it was God's word to us as a church. I was further intrigued that one of those people was one of our oldest serving partners, not in age, but in terms of how long they've been around at Maybridge. And the other person was the very latest partner who had applied for partnership at that time. So you have one of the original 12, I don't mean the apostles, I mean Maybridge Evangelical Free Church, and the very newest, and they both bought the same word. And it was this, from Isaiah 54, verses 2 to 3. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Now, over the last couple of months, the eldership have been praying and thinking about this passage. It's the Bible for sure. We weren't praying about whether it should be in the Bible or not. What we were saying, is that a specific word to Maybridge Community Church right now? Because it's the elders' role to kind of test things that people think that God's saying so that we can decide together if it's something we need to share with the church. Now, we are very aware that human psychology is a very significant factor in these things, both in the giving and receiving of prophetic words. So in the giving of this word, it could be that these two people were both established Christians. This is a fairly well-known passage wheeled out at times of change in church life. And they got really enthusiastic about being at Chatsmore that night, and their enthusiasm triggers that memory, oh, there's a word, and then they think that's God speaking. That's how human psychology can easily work, can't it? At the same time, we as leaders might be really predisposed to believing this is a word of God because it happens to agree with the lead we're taking. That's funny. Anyway, okay. But you get the point I'm making. Human psychology is complicated in all this business. Having said all of that, we still want to tentatively bring this passage to the church family and raise the possibility that God may be encouraging us through this word. Please notice that nowhere in Isaiah does it say, thus saith the Lord, MCC, move to Chatsmore. Okay? We could believe, that's not its concern. This concern is about the bigger picture and vision for God's people. You could agree with everything I say this morning and still vote no on Tuesday, and that would be fine. Because it's not about the specific, it's about the bigger picture, the way this decision fits into where we sense God is leading us as a church, the story that's unfolding amongst us. So let's work out what it meant then, and then see if it applies to our lives today. This passage was first written in the 6th century BC, 600 years before Jesus, and Israel are stuck in Babylon. And Israel had a major theological problem about being in Babylon. You see, they believed God was sovereign. That is, that he is in control of everything. He makes stuff happen. So when they were in Babylon, their problem was not sitting there thinking, oh, well, we got duffed over by a bigger army. They were thinking, God made this happen to us. He brought this catastrophe upon us. It was his responsibility because he's sovereign. Now that causes a theological crisis, because if you've been duffed over by a bigger army, then you can pray, God, defeat the Babylonians. But when you believe actually God made this happen, who do you pray to? And so there was this theological crisis that God was sovereign, which meant he had brought this disaster on them. And in the same passage, if we go to the next slide, God says this to them, in Babylon, in imprisonment there in exile, for a brief moment I abandoned you, but with deep compassion I will bring you back. In a surge of anger I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. And so that's the context, and into that context comes those words, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide. Do you see what God is saying to the people of Israel? Hey guys, have a bigger picture beyond exile. Have a bigger dream beyond Babylon. Have a bigger understanding than just the now and being in prison, because that judgment was for a short time. Now you've got to think about enlarging your tent, stretching open your tent wide. Don't hold back, because plan is on again for you to be my covenant people throughout the world. And God is calling the people of Israel to have a bigger vision. That's what it originally meant. Everybody with me so far? So the picture is of this Bedouin tent that everybody in the original audience would have been familiar with. And God says to them, spread it out, make it as big as it will possibly go. They were flexible feasts, those things. We've carried on camels, lots of fabric so that it could be stretched. And go through various designs. If we look in this one, you can even go to them today, and they're very luxurious, but I doubt if they were like that in biblical times. But the point is, the tent wasn't big enough. Do everything you can to extend it, because God is going to bring blessing. There's going to be more people trying to squeeze into this tent. There's going to be a bigger story. That was the original purpose of writing the passage. So what is the bigger picture? Let's look at applying that to our lives now and saying, what is the bigger picture for Maybridge Community Church? And you need to understand this. Our vision is about helping people follow Jesus. Our vision, the big story, is about discipleship. The bigger picture is about spiritual formation. I was so encouraged last night. I was with some folks who are fairly new to the church, and we were having a meal together, and they just made a comment on what they understand Maybridge to be. And they said, it's a bit like a resource center where you're trying to equip people to follow Jesus in the world. And I thought, oh, yeah, no, that's exactly what we're trying to do. Lucky break. We've actually, you know, communicated something. We want to be lucky break in a sovereign God kind of way. We are a channel of God's transforming purposes in the world. That's what it means to be God's church. That people are changed as we learn to live the Jesus life, and communities are transformed as we learn to live the Jesus mission. It's all about following Jesus. If we can help people follow Jesus, our lives are transformed and communities are transformed. Yeah? Everybody with me so far? That's the bigger picture. So our purpose as a church is to glorify God by seeing ourselves and our community transformed through people following Jesus. So the measure of whether this church is successful is ultimately measured not by what happens in here, but the level of transformation that happens in our communities. Our vision, a church where the love of Jesus is confidently proclaimed, sacrificially demonstrated, and undeniably experienced. If we go on to the next slide. So it's about finding a rhythm of life. Sorry about the breathing out picture here, but it's very difficult to show people in picture form breathing in and breathing out. So the idea is that we are just adopting a rhythm for life. So join with me. Just breathe in deeply. And now exhale deeply. Why did some of you hold your breath? Anyway, the point is that we get into a rhythm of life where we are breathing in from God. Some of us are living starved of oxygen because we haven't yet found a rhythm of life that's centered on God. a way of learning to pray, of learning to meet with his people, of learning to read his word, to experience his spirit, to share in what work of transformation he wants to do in our lives. And as we breathe all that in, it's the most natural thing then to breathe that out and share that goodness with the world. So we talk about www.com, word, work, and wow in and through the community of the church, breathing in God's word of scripture and breathing out God's word in mission, breathing in God's work. What's that transformational work he's doing in me? And how can I be part of his transformational purposes in the world? Breathing in the Spirit of God and praying for people in other situations that they might experience the Spirit as we breathe out. Breathing in community, finding out what it means to be part of church. We can never be Christians on our own. And then breathing out, inviting people into community so they experience this life in God. www.com, that's our vision. And so we will focus on discipleship. And if we do that properly, we anticipate numerical growth as a church and increasingly transformational influence in our society. So, that's the vision, but what's the plan? How are we going to see that happen? And part of the plan is this idea of growth. So I want to propose this morning, is God saying, number one, enlarge your tent? In other words, that we have to move from 77 the Strand. Is that what God is saying to us? Let me just give you our tent stats. There are 450 people plus on our contact list, people who have given us their details to say we'd like to keep up to date with what Maybridge is doing. But you can't bank on all of those for sure. So let's talk about the 209 people who have already committed to being partners with us on this journey. Around the 200 who are 200 plus actually who are in our 30 small groups. Well, this hall seats 200 people. We've only got 250 chairs. So there is a very practical issue. Because you see, what's happening at the moment is that as we focus on making disciples, we have come to realize that actually coming to church regularly is an important part of what it means to follow Jesus. There's a regular rhythm that we need to be part of. And we can't actually fulfill our purpose to make disciples because we're not big enough to welcome people regularly. So secondly, there's this thing about stretch your tent curtains wide. I think this is about two things. It's about welcoming and embracing people from other churches when the time is right. And it's also about missional growth. Let me say a couple of things about that. So welcoming and embracing Christians from other churches. A couple of weeks ago, John and Pete shared in communion around their story of the painful journey of when a church goes wrong and people are looking to find a new home. And these men who had both been in eldership roles in those previous churches, sharing some of the pain of actually that transition period. And at the end of the service, one of the people who's part of this church family came up to me and said, I need to repent about my attitude to people coming from other churches. And it was a very significant moment for that person as their journeys were shared and sharing some of that pain, some of that struggle. And there's a quote here about welcoming, which I think is really important. Welcome is one of the signs that a community is alive. To invite others to live with us is a sign that we're not afraid, that we have a treasure of truth and a peace to share. When we're not welcoming, all is not right with our hearts. But the other thing is that it's about welcoming people who are not yet Christians. We've had the experience a number of times recently where people have come to the doors of the church, seen the foyers too full and walked away. Joe was saying on Wednesday night, we took a conscious decision not to publicize our Easter services because what's the point? We can't fit anybody else in. We can't even fit the regular folks in. So there's a sense in which we're wondering if this is right for now. And we've been talking about this for some time. Is God saying, do not hold back? You know, throughout Israel's history, there were moments of decisiveness was needed, and they held back. Do you remember in Numbers 13 where they send spies into the promised land? They send 12 spies, one from each tribe, and they come back, and 10 of them say, flipping it, there are giants in that land. That's a no-hoper. They've got massive cities. And two of them see those problems but actually say, hey, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and God is in this. And it's that difference between having an eye for the problem and having an eye for what and a heart for what God is doing beyond the problems. If God calls us, the significant problems that Chatsmore hold will be eclipsed by God's faithfulness. I'm absolutely convinced of that. It's about getting this decision right. Is it the right time to move now? You see, I'm utterly confident that at some point in our future, we are going to move from 77 The Strand. I'm utterly confident about that. But my track record in timing in this place is rubbish. So I'm very open to the idea that this might not be the right time. I can't see it personally. That's why we bring it as a leadership with a unanimous thing. But it's just trying to get our heads around this God who is bigger. Do you understand what the balance I'm trying to hold there? Okay. Is God saying, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes? In other words, you can't just enlarge a tent without putting in the infrastructure that's going to hold it up. And it's not just about moving the Chatsmore. It's about actually grappling with, how do we have enough small groups to cope with this growth? Do we have the administrative processes? Do we have the leadership structure? All of those things need to be looked at as well. And then the next slide, please. And it finally saying, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. And we have a sense that our vision is changing. If we move to the next slide, we will play to our strengths and manage our growth. We want to plan to become a larger church with town-wide influence. We sense that is what God is doing here. Historically, we've been focused on the Maybridge estate, and we believe that God is taking us to a bigger future. Part of a national network of partnership churches may be, that we expect to move out of the Strand. Next slide. We will continue our commitment to Maybridge by planting a church back into the estate one day. That won't be at this point, because just over the road, we think that we're still in Maybridge. But Chatsmore will only be a temporary place for this bigger story that's unfolding. We will remain committed to fresh expressions of church, trying to do things differently. We will prioritize engaging with lost younger generations. There are lots and lots of other churches in Worthing that are good at catering for the 50-plus. If you're 50-plus in this church, there will be a cost to pay in that we will always be seeking to address younger generations. It won't be about our convenience. We're a missional church, and it's the huge swathes of younger people that are not part of the church in this country. That's where we are seeking to become increasingly engaged and relevant. We will always be looking to serve the wider community through projects of transformation. It's no good telling people Jesus loves them unless we demonstrate that with our acts as well. And so as we begin to wind up this morning, that leaves us five great challenges as a church. Number one, living the Jesus way. It's only when we follow Jesus that our community is going to be transformed. We're wanting to resource everybody here to partner with God wherever we are in his purposes. Secondly, there's a thing about prioritizing church. Joe said at the start of the service, everything about our culture is it's all about me. And not next Sunday, but the Sunday afterwards, I'm going to preach on Deuteronomy on the title, Why It's Important to Be Occasionally Bored in Church. Because this, and I'll try not to be boring about it, but this is the one place in the world where actually commitment to a community says, actually, the secret to life is not about your convenience. There is a cost to regular meeting together, which is part of what Jesus forms in us in the way that we are to live sacrificially. I'll unpack that more in a couple of weeks. Prioritizing church. Number three, discovering and playing our part in the vision. What's the point of deciding on Tuesday that we'll go to Chatsmore unless we all find our part to play? Because there's going to be huge amounts of roles that we'll need to fulfill, more money to find. It's going to be a big deal. That our next challenge is to constantly be a loving and welcoming community. If this church family makes the decision on Tuesday night to say, okay, we're going to move to Chatsmore, not because we like it, but we actually want to be better at mission and better at discipleship, it will open the floodgates of God's blessing, being a loving and welcoming community. And the fifth one is on Tuesday night that we would know what faithfulness looks like. Please let me say again, I want to, if you are nervous about this and feel it's right to say no, God bless you, you must do that. You must do that. You must make a decision before God that has personal integrity. But what I've tried to do this morning is put that picture, that decision on Tuesday, in a bigger picture. God is doing something amongst us which is far bigger than has historically been the case. I dream of the day when the councillors at the town hall are phoning us to say, look, can you help us with this? We have some big challenges as a church in this country. We have to navigate a pathway through militant Islam, the militant gay movement, and the militant atheism. I was talking to a foster carer in church this morning who said, I've had a young family with me, and my social workers gave me explicit instructions. You are not to take that family to church. That's your personal belief. And she said, hold on, this lady with this young baby, she goes to church regularly. And they said, you're not doing it while you're caring for that family. There is a huge and growing prejudice against the church in this country. That is totally irrational. We're going to support her in making a complaint about that. But we've somehow as a church got to find a way of getting articulate voice in this town. We have got a purpose-built youth centre over there that is now open one night a week. In a couple of years, there will be no more trained youth workers that aren't Christians because they are cutting all the funding. What does that mean about us playing a bigger voice, playing a bigger part in this town's future? I've got social workers saying to me, they're cutting all our funding, so we'll only be able to work with crisis families. Can the church help us with families that we know are going to be in crisis 12 months from now unless we do some intervention work now? I've got social workers saying to me, look, we can't visit the elderly in this community on our own. We haven't got the funding anymore. Can the church help us in that? We've got Children of Family Centre. We've got 500 people coming through this building every week who need to know Jesus. And we're trying to release people into ministry there. The trouble is, as soon as Joe and I start talking to them, they think they're being hit upon because most of them are women. So we've got to release women. Yeah. They think I've got brown hair. So they got... So somehow we've got to release women in this congregation into that ministry. The opportunities in a big society, which is conservative code for society's falling apart and we can't fund it and we need to keep the bankers sweet, so what can we do? You didn't hear me say that. Somehow the church has got to play its part in this town. And it's not because we think that we're anything special, far from it. But we just wonder whether this is the old unfolding picture of what God is doing amongst us. So we've come a long way. I think that's you, Pauline Phillips, in the back, isn't it? Great dresses. That was the old building. What we're trying to discern is that was yesterday, but what does God's faithfulness look like going forward? And the last picture is, because you see, the vision that we are beginning to sense that God might be leading us into is one that is utterly impossible unless every single person who is part of this church family discovers their role in the orchestra and starts playing. Let's pray together. So let me just read those words to us again, and then we're going to sing one final song this morning. Is this what God is saying to us? Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in desolate cities. Father, please, your ways are greater than ours. Your thoughts greater than ours. Your spirit blows where he will. Lead us into the future you have for us. And I pray that you'd lead us on together. For the glory of Christ, we pray. Amen. So,